This is Carrie Steller within the Girls Corner, and I am here speaking to Mike Busby of Pro Pump Podcast. I am so excited to have Mike on. He interviewed me the other day, and it was absolutely amazing. I don't get interviewed awesome often, so when I do, it's great. And you have such an incredible presence about you, and the way that you ask your questions, it flowed flawlessly. I felt like it was talking to a friend. Mike, how you doing?
Good, good. How you been?
Really good. Really good couple days. I'm so excited to be talking to you again. I feel like we're just catching up.
Yeah, no, like last time when we were talking before, you know, it was awesome because we had that connection like you're saying too, you know, and then we started talking and started getting like in really opened up more about everything. That was awesome.
So how did you get into all of this? Podcasting, interviewing, you do a lot. What brought all of this about?
Yeah, so the biggest thing, so I did the mentor coach with Phil Dorr, and when I got in that, and then I was with Axe and Sledge, you know, with the supplement company that they got, and I seen Seth Frosey, and I started, you know, looking more into that, and then I looked over, and then I got in the demo crew. Well, then all of a sudden, one of the guys said, hey, let's start a podcast, you know. I said, all right, let's start a podcast. You know, best thing that could happen is we got a lot of people that came on, you know, starting more people come on. And I was actually with another guy, and he would do all the videos. So I would edit all the videos and send it over to him. And so then we got really, you know, involved. But then something happened where I was like, you know what? I wanted to branch off, and I wanted to kind of leave the Axe and Sledge, you know, and the Denver crew and everything. And I left. And it's great because then I waited about 2 years because people are like, start your own podcast, start your own podcast. And I think different ways, right, to start my own podcast, you know, again. And I went one way and I didn't like it. So I went to another way, and this was the biggest one I had. And so with Phil and everything, I seen Phil, and then I seen what Product One, when they first came out. So Product One came out, nutrition. And those guys I knew from Axe and Sledge, a couple of guys that were working over there, and they went over and they opened up their own, you know, supplement company with really good guys that really know what they're doing, you know, in the back end of it. And so then I started talking to them, and I joined Project One, and then I started talking about, you know what, I'm going to start a podcast. And I asked them, so you guys want to back me up in this? And they said, yeah, 100%. So then they came on, I put their logo on, and then it branched off to Victory Multisport, and then the rest is history. And then I started emailing and messaging different people that wanted to come on, and it just clicked. Everything just kept forming. I was booked all the way to October.
And that's amazing because, you know, most people that start interviewing, you don't really get booked up like that. It takes a while to get that much content and that many people to come on. And let's not forget, to be able to get your mind wrapped around interviewing that many different personalities, people don't understand. It is not the easiest thing because you can ask the same questions over and over again, but you might have to like really dig deep because some people, it's like pulling teeth. You're talking to them and it's like, God, can you answer a question? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've had people like that where I'm like, all right, now I got to actually like feel like I have to lead them into something because some people just freeze up on camera. And I mean, I guess that's natural. And even as a fighter, they still do. So it's pretty funny, but it is, it's a great business. And I wouldn't even call it a business. I'd call it an industry. And I love it. And I'm excited to have you a part of it. Who has been the best or biggest interview you have done yet?
Oh, so I didn't realize this. And I mean, Phil Dorot was probably one of the biggest. Right. So I would say the way he did it, he actually emailed me back, or no, he messaged me back. And it was actually about two months later, he messaged me back. And he's really busy guy, you know, he's all over the place, everything he's doing. And so he messaged me back. He said, hey, sorry, I missed this, but messaged my, you know, his secretary. I messaged her, emailed her, and then we set everything up from there. And he actually was really cool as he worked around. Like he was traveling during that week, and so he's like, "No, I want to be on there. I'm excited." And then that was probably the biggest one because he actually knows. Adam Sandler from Grown Ups, you know, What's that dude's name? He's like a bigger dude, heavier set guy.
Oh, Kevin James.
Kevin James. Yeah. So Kevin James is his. He told me on the interview, it's Kevin James is his one of his kids' godfathers.
Oh.
And so yeah, so that really, that was pretty. That was awesome. And then plus he's doing a bunch of other fighters and everybody else. So, I mean, even look at Dustin Poirier when he really branched off, from Conor McGregor fight, and all of a sudden he took off, and Phil's been training since then. So that was one of the other ones. And then for TikTok wise,
sorry, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
She
no,
makes
for
an
TikTok
appearance
wise,
in almost every interview I do. She has to make some. Come stop it.
That's awesome though.
Yeah, walk right in front of the camera.
King's Community. I don't know if you heard. King's Community has 3.5 million followers.
Amazing.
And so that was really interesting. I didn't realize I was interviewing his wife. And then she told me, like, she messaged me and she's like, my husband does this. And I was like, well, that's awesome. He helps men deal with their mental, what's going on of thinking and progressing in the right way. Because we know a lot of men, and not just, it's men and women, but we know a lot of men deal with a lot of stuff they don't tell a lot of people, right?
Absolutely.
And so, because they think that being a man, they don't need to tell nobody, but in reality, you got it. And so that's why they help him. And then it's a huge group. So he does all these videos and everything. And what's cool is that they came on and they went from there. So those are my two top ones, right now. I mean, I had Brandon. Brandon's now, he backs us up and sponsors us now. It's a health performance. So he actually trains Ian Gary. He's in Ireland.
Okay.
And he's a UFC welterweight right now. Yep. And then he trained Amanda Nunes, double, champ. And then that was cool. And so that was really cool, and just the reason why I mentioned Brandon, because his background, he trained with Phil for a little while and then he branched off. And so his background, his resume is amazing, right? And he has that breakdown of all the champions and everything he's done. And so, yeah, those are probably my top ones right now.
That's amazing. Those are great ones to have. And I mean, top,
yeah.
The best memorable interviews are the ones that you have so much to say about and keep talking about, because I mean, those are the greatest ones when people give you all of themselves and who they are, and a big name helps as well. And I actually have something to tell you, a very cool tip. When you interview Manimal, ask him about Kevin James.
Oh, I will.
That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to give any more information, but definitely ask him, because he's got some cool. John has trained with some very cool. He's got very cool stories that he could tell you. And
that's going to be awesome.
It's been a great experience working with him. And when he said that you guys were going to interview, I'm like, we got to have him on Token Choke as well. So we're going to have you on that too, which is going to be a lot of fun.
Awesome. Awesome.
And we're going to try a bunch of things. And thank you for putting our logo in the background and our step.
Yep.
We're going to put yours up. We're super excited.
Yeah, amazing. No, I'm super excited because, like, I looked this. I always think outside the box, right? So I'm looking, and I interviewed you. I said, you know what? I'm gonna throw this out there because I want to see, because I was gonna bring it. I want to bring on cannabis, a company that would, be on here, and Hevel Farms, with Hevel Farms, and everything happened with them. Nothing bad. It was just miscommunication, right? That was all that was. And then so we branched off, and I got two more on. And what was cool is that when you guys came on, I thought outside about it. I said, look, they have a tournament for, Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And on top of it, they have cannabis, right? You smoke up and then you get to it and you get on the ground. And what's cool about it is also it's you guys are doing something so that everybody knows it's not a drug. It's even more than ever before than everybody thinks about, it helps you recover. I mean, look at the Diaz brothers. They use it all the time. I think it helps with a lot of stuff with asthma too, to be honest with you, because with the breathing wise and everything else, we have cannabinoids in our body that we need to progress in the right direction. And when we're babies, we kind of break off from that, but we need to put them back in to make our bodies be healthy again, in a certain way.
Yep. A lot of people don't know that your body has cannabinoid receptors. And the terpenes, I believe they're called. I don't want to say it
Yep,
wrong.
terpenes.
Yeah,
You're right.
like the medicine and the receptors are what takes it, and they send it to where it needs to go. And I actually interviewed with the guy that owned, this was years ago, Terp House, and he explained a lot of the medicinal parts and how things went with your body. And I was really, I was blown away. I didn't know we had cannabinoid receptors in our body. So it really makes sense why certain strains work better for other people, different types work better. I love a good hybrid. That's probably my favorite. And I do use it medicinally. I actually, I smoke before I train, after. It helps me, my mind relax. So it's got, you know, a multitude of things that I like about it. And do you actually smoke yourself?
Yeah, so I do CBD right now. So that's
Okay.
what I'm doing right now. And so I'll do well, reason why is I have like something with like it's like anxiety sometimes. I have a little bit of it from
Okay.
fight. I don't know if it's from fighting or anything, you know, losing weight and stuff like that, dropping up and down and everything.
Yeah.
So the reason why, and also I use that for anxiety because I kind of don't like using prescription medicine, you know. That's my biggest
Hear
thing.
you.
And also what I do like this a lot is the CBD crystal. And a lot of people don't understand is reason why I use that, it's 100% CBD because it helps with the body, and then it relaxes you, and also the same side, you get recovery really quick also. Because I mean, I even use hemp, so hemp protein, I use that too. So
Yeah.
a
Oh, hemp
lot of
is
people
great for
don't, a lot of
protein.
people don't, oh, 100%, yeah, a lot of people don't understand how valuable that hemp protein really can be towards the body.
Absolutely. I eat hemp hearts in my yogurt, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh yeah.
It's one of the best proteins you can have. And natural is really the way to go anyway. But it's crazy because, you know, now it's so acceptable to be able to smoke or do edibles and stuff while you're fighting and training, where it wasn't years and years ago, and people couldn't really talk about it. That's why I kind of said it like, can we talk about that? You know what I mean?
No,
Because some people
100%.
don't like to, but I am all about breaking stigmas and everything. I mentioned that I microdose in mushrooms. That helps me open my mind, my synapses fire. And I mean, when I say microdose, it's like the littlest amount. People are like, that does something. I'm like, for me, it does. You know, I don't want to be hammered. So for me, it does just enough. Tell us about your fight career. I mean, we know you have a podcast, and that's great. And I love it. And I think that what you're doing is awesome. But I want to know a little bit about that, how you started, where you went.
So all right, so my brother got my I wrestled back in high school,
Okay.
and then when I wrestled back in high school, I was we won two state titles, first time in the history of the high school career.
Wow.
And everybody that did that for team wise, everybody knows. I was on, and the reason why I was on JV, and we got you know, I got second on that my sophomore year. And a lot of people understand is that when I was a freshman, I only weighed like 88 pounds,
Yeah.
and I won one match, you know. And then I branched out to sophomore year, and I was like 32-7, I think it was. So I kind of like caught on like quick, right? And then I turned 18. We won this two titles for state championship. I turned 18. My brother said, I worked in the refinery business. And my brother's like, hey, I think you should try mixed martial arts. I said, and he told me about Rich Franklin. He told me about Chuck Liddell, all these guys, right? T. Ortiz. He even said, like, Chuck Liddell used to smoke cigarettes back in that day, you know, and used to go in and fight, you know. And I never knew that,
Yes,
right? I
literally.
never knew that. I've never knew that. And then I was like, wow, that's crazy, you know. So then we found a gym, and it was called Team No Ego. And they were out of, at the time, they were out of Plainfield. Now they're out of Oswego, Illinois. And those coaches that were in there at the time, or they aren't actually, they're still there. One was a cop. He was one of the cops over there, and he ran it. And also on the same side, they helped train Matt Hughes.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, so that was really cool, right? You know, seeing that and then training with these guys. And then so I trained with them, and then I went to fight one promotion. And so this is what happened. I'm 7-3, my record, 100%. So with all these businesses, I had to get businesses licensed, and everything, with the promotions and everything else happened. A lot of these businesses didn't report my fights to the record holder, right? The commission.
Yes.
They never reported them to. And so what happened was a lot of these fighters back then, they had to redo their record pretty much.
Yeah.
And so now my record says 1-3, but my record's not 1-3. It's 7-3.
Yeah.
And so I have picture, I have a couple pictures to show it and everything, right? And I could turn pro probably, you know, and everything else. But I was going to fight. I was going to fight on Anthony Pettis' promotion recently.
Okay.
And I was going to fight on there. And I did not because I backed out, you know, because I had to at the time. With all the different blood work they do now, I didn't realize. I thought I had everything. So then I was like, all right, I guess I didn't have everything. So
okay.
I felt bad because of, you know, everything going on. So then I fought. So we'll go back a little bit. So my first fight, I lost. And I'll never forget. I never got knocked out. TKO, knocked out, nothing. But I lost. I learned. Moved on. Then I went to my second fight, and I won. And I won it right in front of Rich Franklin. He came to the Firefighter Extreme Kentucky Fairgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the middleweight champion at the time. And of UFC. And so I did three rounds with the guy, and I was a fight of the night and everything. I did right in front of the guy.
That's
and
amazing.
So ever since that night, I was like number one or number two guy in the state. And so nobody would fight me at 135 pounds, and I was like, well, why is nobody fighting me? Well, then all of a sudden they bought a guy from Cincinnati, Ohio, and that was out of Rich Franklin's gym. I found out.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Amazing. So then I lost him in the first round. I've never been this move. Okay. It was I'll never forget this until the day, you know, I'll never forget this part is when that guy came in from Cincinnati and we went to Buffalo Wild Wings the way in and they bought us all our dinners. We did interviews and everything, but the crowd was like the UFC crowd. It was insane. It was like, we had probably 2,000, 3,000 people inside the restaurant. Like, it was insane. And it was the most awesome experience because I had my, you know, I gave my signatures out. I'd done interviews. I'd done all that. And then, like, then you got to go to fight night. And then you got to get ready for the fight mentally and physically, be ready for everything. And a lot of people don't understand this also is that I had buddies that had fighters back out, and they would pick the person out in the crowd to fight my buddy. And they're like, how would that happen? And he's like, I was like, well, back then they never did a lot of blood work, you know, they never did like the physical or any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Not as serious as it is now, you know? So that's how I really came out in the fighting business. And I always worked out hard. Right. So like I had to keep on my workout and my agenda and everything else to keep moving forward, because if I don't, then I'm going to lose. I that's how I feel, you know?
Yeah.
And so I worked like, people think I'm crazy, but I worked like 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, 12 hours, 80 hours a week to 70 hours a week. And then on top of it, I would train and I would go to three gyms. I bring a Muay Thai, a boxer, and then I bring jiu-jitsu in, and I bring a wrestler in, one of the baddest wrestlers, you know, in Illinois. That's what I would do. And the people and my coaches had to be like top coaches around the area. I didn't want anybody that's not top or anything. I didn't want anybody to know my business. And with the social media, right? Everybody's posting, right? Their fight, their camps on social media. I never did any of that. That's the thing. I never did any of that stuff. That's how people are like, well, who are you or what's this? It's like back then we never really, you know, I was so busy focused on my fighting career and my work career that I didn't really branch off to, like, you know, try to impress people on social media all the time. I never done that. And that's what I believe. Like a lot of times, psychologically, I think that a lot of these fighters, when they look online a lot of times and the comments and everything else going on, they see that. And it really messes up with their minds and everything, because some of these fighters believe probably they are, you know, not good enough to beat the other person sometimes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Are you planning on fighting again?
I mean, I always have that urge, right? So like I have my daughter and my kids and everything, but I love competing, right? I love competing. I miss it, and I still work out 6-7 days a week, no matter what. I work out. I was gonna fight 145, but I backed out of that right now. because of certain reasons and everything on that part, I already said. But I went from I used to weigh like 190, and so I dropped down to 170, and then I was gonna fight 170, and I decided not to. Then I was gonna fight 155, I decided not to, and then I decided 145 was kind of like, because I've been watching these guys, right? Some of these guys weigh 190, and they dropped down 155, and so, and then I seen Sterling, he went 170, and he dropped down all the way to 135.
Yeah.
So that was very very intriguing to me.
Oh yeah, a lot of them lose, they drop down a lot of weight to be able to fight. Personal opinion, I've never been, you know, I don't compete in martial art, in mixed martial arts. I would love to do an MMA fight. That would actually be really fun for me, but I'll be honest with you, I probably wouldn't want to cut weight. I walk around at 125. I don't know if I would want to go down to 115 even to take a fight. I'm a comfortable person where, you know, most of the people that I train with are bigger than me anyway. So if I went in there with somebody that was just a little bit, I don't know, but you see people that take extreme weight cuts. So it's like, maybe like, yeah, going down to 115 would be like the smart idea when you think about it. But, you know, it's a tough thing to go, well, which one would you want to do? Because I could even gain 10 pounds if I wanted to and go on, but I don't want to do that.
it's a big thing, you know, and so like I went from team New Ego, and then I branched off. My turn, you know, I got older and I started going, branching off different areas. I went to train at Clay Guida's gym, you know, for a little while. And then I went to go train at Kankakee, back to Kankakee again. And I trained with one of the guys. He told me, and he was a really good guy. And I brought in a boxer that was like, he was like 84 and only lost two fights. That's it. But he went back and he won those two fights again. And so like I bought guys that were like really good guys, you know, like to come in and show me boxing. So like now I feel so comfortable that I've been training this long. I feel like I really feel like I'm like a version. I'm just gonna, you know, this is who I look up to. I look up to Anderson Silva in the mixed martial arts community, and I look up to John Jones, and I look up to GSP, and I look up to Matt Hughes and all these guys, right? And the biggest one that I would say that my style really kind of goes with is probably Anderson Silva's style.
Okay. Oh, he's got great style.
So like I like doing the kicks, I like doing the front kicks, I like doing the striking, and I used to just be a wrestler. So imagine I was only a wrestler, so I just take you down like Matt Hughes. And then so now since I'm comfortable with the striking, I know how to pace. And like what GSP, like he talks about a lot of times too, is when you get in the octagon, you want to feel relaxed, right? You want to just feel that motion. Don't get jitters or anything. Just feel relaxed and let it flow, you know, and really think twice before you do. You got to be a smart fighter. As I got older, I've been noticing that a lot more. You got to act in the octagon in a smart way, you know, and break it all down before you go in, because you can win these fights easy. I mean, look at the different fights like John Jones fought, you know, and he fought awesome fights, right? He comes in with that. He come in with the jab, but then all of a sudden when he come with the jab, he actually have an elbow coming in, you know, and then like he would do like a back spinning kick, and then he would come in with the freaking elbow out of nowhere. It's just amazing seeing the different, you know, the different stuff he does. And look at John Jones when he fought Daniel Cormier, right? And he fought him in the second fight. He kept hitting his stomach, boom, 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 boom. And then finally, DC thought he was going to hit the stomach, and he went up top and knocked him out, you know? Yep. So you got to have that kind of talent, you know? And I think, and you got to have that kind of mindset going into it, like, this is it. Like, I was the type of guy, like, I'd go in, if it was fight time, I would fight anybody, anywhere, at any time. There's fights I fought for free. Because I love the sport. I love what I do. I love competing. So I mean, I go to fights. I sell a couple tickets for like $40 back then, and $40, and I'll go in and fight, not make anything off of sponsors or nothing.
That's amazing. And then you know what you do? You have to have a love for the sport. There was such a long time where people weren't getting paid, really, people still don't make a ton of money. We can, you know, that's a whole nother day's conversation, but it's incredible. And you know, you have to be smart, but you have to love the sport as well, because if not, If you're looking to make money in the sport, you're definitely in it for the wrong reason. And the same thing as a journalist. Oh, yeah. If you're looking to make money as a journalist, you're doing it for the wrong reasons, because it comes with sponsorships and it comes with time. However, it's hold on one second. I just got, yeah, it is important because most people don't, they do it because it's money, but you have to do it because you love it. And you really do. And you sound like you love the sport of fighting. You're still in it, doing interviewing, doing everything you're doing. And that's the best way that you can do, stay in a sport, stay in a world where you're not actually being active in it. So I think that's super important. And I love what you're doing. And I'm so excited for you. Do you have any events coming up?
No, nothing right now. Nothing at all that really, I'm really looking into yet.
Are you thinking about starting to go to fights or anything like that? Because that's a lot of fun. When I first started, one of the first things I did, I mentioned to you, was go to amateur fights, and then went to like Bellator was my first pro fight that I went to. So I could see you being there on press row, interviewing people, being in the pit after in the press room. And it's an amazing experience.
No, I mean, I think, I was talking to Rush. His nickname, Rush MMA. And I actually just got on. He put me on this group of like journalists from all over, right? UK to America to everywhere. And I was like, it's like close to 80 guys now, journalists on there now. And then like they post everything. I share different stuff or keep, everybody in there. And then I help them out, branch them out, get their name out there and everything, on my stories and stuff like that. But yeah. I mean, you never know. I was looking at it like remote wise, too, to kind of interview and kind of do that. Cause I mean, I really like the style and everything what's going on. And I like, the motion this is going, right? Towards and stuff like that. So, I mean, that's not out of the question,
That is something for the future. Something for the future. Mike, I want to thank you, one, for giving me your time and speaking to me tonight. Is there anything that I haven't asked you that you want to get out there, or anything we haven't spoken about that you want to get out there to the world?
No, I just want to say thank you for, coming on. The tournament wise, and I hope that I can be there one day to really see everything and see how it progresses and really meet everybody and meet you guys in person and everything. So I'm really looking forward to that. And then also, I appreciate you coming on the podcast and everything and coming on and talking to you about everything. And I can't wait and see what the future holds for everybody over there at Token Choke Challenge too.
I can't wait either. And I'm excited for the future working with you and doing everything that we're going to do together and promoting. I think it's super important to do that because there's a lot of competition out there. And if we could all level each other up, that's the best thing in the world. And with that, where can everybody follow you?
Yeah, you can follow me at ProPump101 Podcast on Instagram, YouTube channel. And then you always also can subscribe on our Spotify anytime. Worldwide, everywhere. And also on top of it, you can follow me on Instagram, Mike Busby, my personal one also. It's private, so I kind of let certain, people in and out just so everybody knows. But besides that, that's it, And I really looking forward to the future and seeing where it goes. Because I was talking to certain people about, because I've interviewed, certain people in the MMA community. And I really was looking forward to the, I was talking to Rush about it. I was like, man, I think I'm going to do, start interviewing some, MMA and start going there and see where that goes, And then what I would do is I would branch out to it, to that part. And then I would do the podcast on the side too, because I got Victory Multisport. This is a platform for them too, for the podcast. Yeah. And then all the sponsors, I want to make a platform where everybody has somewhere to talk and go. And we can all meet up, right? We can all meet up, talk, and just collectively talk about everything, and then go from there. I really appreciate it.
No, and you know what? I appreciate it. And I thank you so much for your time. And I'm looking forward to speaking to you again in the future, doing more interviews, and we're going to have another Token Choke show, and it's going to be so exciting. And Mike, thank you so much for taking time out of your evening for me.
No problem. You have a great night.
You too. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.